Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In the 60s, the summer of love came and went. In the 2000s here, has the cool restaurant era also come and gone? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Stock in the pharmaceutical and agrochemical giant Bayer of Germany spiked this morning after a published report of a possible settlement in the works involving the health effects of a weed killer. Roundup is produced by Monsanto. Bayer of Germany bought Monsanto and inherited the liability. The stock right now up 4.3%. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is following this today. Nancy?
Hey, David. Remember, shares in Bayer had been losing value for about the past year. As the number of lawsuits against Monsanto grows, Bayer paid about $63 billion to acquire Monsanto around a year ago. Since then, there's been a wave of litigation as more and more people claim they got cancer from using Roundup. A California jury awarded a couple more than $2 billion earlier this year. So Monsanto really has been a drag on Bayer.
And what do we know about the possible settlement that Bayer is reportedly considering?
Bloomberg is reporting Bayer is willing to pay up to $8 billion to settle these Roundup lawsuits. There's a key sticking point, how to handle future claims from people who sue after any settlement is reached. Bayer's chief executive said last week it would only consider a settlement with reasonable terms.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you. Crude oil prices are up this morning, $53 and change a barrel, but it's the last month that really tells the story. The benchmark price in New York is down by more than 12% over that stretch. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports on some unusual psychology playing out in the oil market these days. Here's Ben Bradford.
Oil prices are hovering below $60 a barrel, not wildly different from where they were in 2015, 16, and 17. But underneath the top line number, Daniel Juergen at IHS Markit says,
prices have been whiplashed by world events.
In June, President Trump imposed new sanctions on Iran, a major oil producer. Then, Halima Croft at RBC Capital Markets says Iran began seizing tankers.
If it were 5 years ago and we had the type of incident that we've had, oil would be at $100 a barrel or more.
But instead, oil prices have fallen 20% since May. Sarah Ladislaw at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says the booming U.S. oil business is offsetting Middle East turmoil.
It is the largest surge in oil supply in the history of oil production.
At the same time, she says the U.S.-China trade war has intensified fears of a global economic slowdown, and a slower economy means fewer people and businesses burning oil. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2%. The Dow and S&P futures here each down 0.6%. The NASDAQ future down 0.8%. Benchmark for interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield down this morning 1.7%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life.
Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Is it possible we've come to the end of the era of the indie, fancy yet casual restaurant that can transform a city into a culinary capital? Now, that's the argument in a new book called Burn the Ice, The American Culinary Revolution and Its End by James Beard Award-winning writer Kevin Alexander. He linked up from San Francisco. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you start the book in the aughts, when there was a burgeoning new food scene in America. I mean, the hubs were not just New York and L.A. or San Fran, but what you zoom in on, Portland, Oregon. Why do you think this period was so ripe for pushing the food envelope?
You saw this rise of this very specific style of restaurant, right? The Edison bulbs and the reclaimed wood and the farm-to-table food and the craft cocktail programs. And it suddenly seemed like it was everywhere in America. And I was looking for sort of that monkey from Outbreak moment. And when I did, I found that Patient Zero seemed to be Portland in 2006. Portland created this template because they were sort of a culinary backwater before this. And all of a sudden in 2006, they were these national food media darlings. And so other cities who didn't have these long histories and culinary reputations started to say, well, look, if they can do it, why can't we do it? And all of these cities, you know, they started to have this energy and this creativity. And it was really at a really exciting time.
I'm sad to hear the past tense in your voice, but of course I've read the book too. I mean, you make an argument that it was past tense a golden age. Why are we not still living the magic?
We haven't had a recession in 11 years. In the world of restaurants, that means landlords can raise rents for 11 straight years. And as restaurant rents get more expensive, so do residential rents, which means workers getting priced out of being able to afford to live in these cities. And so with less workers, you've got increased competition. They're forced to simplify just to keep it moving. And so basically what all of these factors add up to is that specific restaurant that I've been talking about, the sort of central restaurant of this golden era, the independent, fine, casual dining spot, they're the first to go. They're the ones that can't survive.
But the fact is, right, there's still pockets of innovation, there's still interesting stuff happening, but you're talking broader brush, tectonic plates moving, the major trend.
Yes. I mean, just because this era is passing, it doesn't mean we're suddenly done eating well. Love in America was celebrated in the 60s and money in the 80s. I think that's what we've done with food at this point. And so it's not going away, it's just going to evolve.
Kevin Alexander's new book is called Burn the Ice, The American Culinary Revolution and Its End. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
In the book, some people, maybe a little facetiously, attribute Portland, Oregon's discovery as a hotbed for food, not just to the work of amazing chefs there like Gabriel Rucker, but also to a line in that movie Sideways. It's about the Paul Giamatti character, the wine snob who hates Merlot. The Portland area is known for making the rival wine, Pinot Noir. The theory is explained in the director's cut of our interview that's posted now at marketplace.org. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. The engineer is Brian Allison. Our intern is Erica Soderstrom. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.